بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه،
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين ثب الله عنهم رجسا وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أما بعد، قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Our series of discussions have gone into its fifth night. These last couple of nights, we've been looking into the pathway of wilaya. Know that in life, you'll always find two pathways: God isn't forceful. God always gives a human being an option in life. Even in the worst moments of your life, there'll always be two pathways. Allah will show you two roads. Sometimes the right path may be the more difficult one. But know through this difficulty, there's great bliss. When a person makes a decision for the sake of Allah, even if that decision may be a wrong decision, you find that creation in and of itself begins to move for that person because of their sincerity. Many a time people have made decisions which were wrong. 1100 years of tashayyu and ghibat kubra. If you think that we haven't made wrong decisions, we've made wrong decisions. The difference is this though, that the day Sheikh Mufid, the great Sheikh Mufid, made a wrong decision. Which Sheikh Mufid? The one that our entire theology today is based upon. Your belief today, the modern day belief which we have in Shiism, which has been going on for the last 1,000 years, is because of Sheikh Mufid. Prior to that, there were schisms. Sheikh Mufid didn't agree with his teacher in certain things, Sheikh al-Saduq. But you find from the time of Sheikh Mufid onwards, there's a standardization. If you're Shia today, and your belief is where it is, it's because of the likes of Sheikh Saduq, Sheikh Mufid, and so on. Know this though, Sheikh Mufid, when he made a wrong decision, a letter came from the Imam. He said, from today onwards, I'm going to retreat. I'm not going to make any more decisions. That's it. That's enough. I made a wrong decision. I've realized. What did the letter say? What did the Imam's message say? He says, Mufid, you continue to try your best. I'll continue to do your salah. There's a power in the ghaib that whenever you find our ulama are not infallible. Maybe once in their life they may make a mistake. Can you see that mistake? You can't see it. Why? Because when they do, a hand comes and covers their mistake and guides the ummah back onto the track. Do you think it's easy when somebody like Daesh comes into Iraq, surrounds the shrines? On the one side, say the Zainab shrine is surrounded. On the other side, Sayyid al-Shuhada. I remember myself how painful it was at the time, sitting in Samarra. It was only myself, and I could see 18, 19 year old boys coming, giving their final salam, going towards their death, because they knew that they were defending these shrines. And Daesh was advancing, and we knew the minute they were going to come in, they're going to bulldoze and blood shed everywhere. But you saw Ayatollah Sistani at every stage was making a decision. And his decision was so precise that it was as if the hand of God was on his shoulder in the way that he was steering the entire nation. And you found that when these powers were against, you found that there's a power behind this old man. So one day he said something when people initially thought in 2003 that this man is weak. What did he say? He says, son, when I'm quiet, there's a reason. When I act, there's a reason. If I'm quiet, there's a reason. So no, whatever happens, there's a hidden hand that's been guiding this nation for the last 1,100 years. You may think that you know better, but the survival of this entire nation from the time of the very beginning, in the time of Mutawakkil, when he was killing and he was plastering Shias into the walls, at that time we survived. In the time of Mansur al-Dawaniki, when he annihilated every single Hassani Sayyid that he could find, they still survive to this day. From the time onwards, when you see Mahmud Ghaznawi or others who were coming, killing, destroying, plundering, looting, we still survived. If you look to any place in the world, you found in Afghanistan today, war has started again. But even under Taliban, you still found that the Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen would take their processions in the middle of Kandahar, right in the heart of the Taliban, and they couldn't do anything about it. This is the power of Imam Hussein, that people don't want to mess with that. They don't want to mess with that. And okay, you can turn around and say the whole Taliban issue was the Hazara Taliban, it was an ethnic issue and so forth. The fact of the matter is this, that even in the heart of destruction of Shia killings, you still find that our people will not turn back when it comes to Imam Hussein. I still remember one Ashura day. One Ashura day. I still remember one scene. I was watching it, it was displaying in front of me on the news. There was a scene that there was a bomb blast in Karachi. And at that moment, they showed from an aerial vision that there was a young man who was holding the flag of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. It erupted. People ran and then they came back again. But this young man stood there with the flag and he died in the bomb blast. But the flag didn't go down. He held it enough that before he collapsed, another man came and they grabbed onto that flag. When they asked his mother, what did you say? What happened? What was your son? She said this to him. She says, son, whatever happens, this flag of Abbas mustn't fall. With his dying breath, he kept it up so that the next person came, they grabbed the flag and then made sure the flag was raised. If you think these things only happened 1,000 years ago, this is only a couple of years ago. That child was no bigger, no older than some of your children who are sitting here. This is what Imam Hussein is. This is what your mothers have fed you. That whatever happens, this flag will remain up. This Hussein's majlis will continue. And you'll see that generation upon generation, children will come forward and they will cry for Imam Hussein. I've seen in these last couple of days, I've seen children wanting to come to this majlis. You can see today, look how small some of these children are who are sitting here. They've come here because there's a love in their heart. If you ask them, do they know Imam Hussein? If they don't know Imam Hussein, they've never seen him. They don't know him. They don't know how he looks like. They know nothing about him. The only thing that they know is there's something in their heart that brings him here. Why? Because Imam Hussein is so loving. Imam Hussein's Hal min Nasir was so powerful that even children in their cradles felt it. If Ali Asghar fell to the ground, then no, Ali Asghar made sure that every child who has that wilaya inside of them will fall to the ground when Imam Hussein calls them. Remember this. Don't forget this. This is the training ground for your children to say Labbaik. Go and see in the Dua of Rajab, the Rajabiyya Dua, when you speak to Imam Hussein, what do you say? As-salamu alayka, or you say Labbaika ya da'i Allah. When Imam Hussein said hal min nasir yansurana, you reply Labbaik ya da'i Allah, the one who invites people towards Allah. That is who Hussein is. Hussein's message is an invitation. And that invitation is for your heart. And that invitation has love. You are called in this wilaya, this power of love that takes you to Imam Hussein. You see, the message of Hussein is not about a sword. Remember what we said yesterday. The Prophet taught us, never ever terrorize. Never ever hurt anyone. Never ever hurt somebody's emotions and feelings. The beauty of Imam Hussein is that learn to fight with love. Change people's hearts with love. If you disagree with someone, if you show them love, you'll see them change. So many times ulama in the past have shown us how to change somebody's heart, their minds, through the process of love. You know why somebody's bad to you? Because inertly somewhere in there, they lack love. You show them Husseini love, they're yours. What did I say on the very first night? When a person grabs onto the hand of Hussein, no, let me put it another way. When Hussein grabs your hand, he doesn't let you go. He takes you in every single stage of your life until you get to the final. Your responsibility is this though. What can you do for Imam Hussein? If you want Hussein to grab your hand, you got to answer him. His answer isn't there because he needs you. He's calling you to help you. Because he knows that without him calling you, you're oblivious to what Imam Hussein symbolizes. You're oblivious. Therefore, Hussein calls you in the way Allah calls you. Why? Because Hussein is Hujjatullah on earth. His actions are the actions of Allah on earth. So look, now bearing that in mind, you have two pathways in life. Despite how difficult things may get, if for 2 seconds you sit back and reflect, you'll see that there's always two options open. Sometimes the right option is the harder option, but sometimes you've got to take it. You know where this begins from? This begins from the beginning. What's the beginning? The beginning is this. Allah says something. Allah says, kun. He says, be. Kun. Be. Kaf. Noon. Should we explore that a little bit? Let me explain to you what the kaf symbolizes. The kaf has duality. The noon has duality. The kaf's duality is this. When Adam looked towards the kaf, he saw kamal. When shaitan looked to the kaf, he saw kufr. Shaitan became a kafir. Not looking at, essentially, when I say looking, it means his wujud. From inside, what happened? He became a kafir. When Adam looked at it, he went towards Kamal. Allah says, kun, kaf, noon. When Shaitan looked at the noon, he saw nar, he saw fire. So he began to burn in jealousy. The first stage that takes you out of the wilayah of Allah, jealousy. Jealousy. First thing that takes you out of the wilayah of Allah. This is why the best thing you can do is never talk about another person. Because sometimes you talking is indirectly jealousy about them. Be very vigilant, be very careful. Don't mention people by name. I've seen the greatest urafa in my time from a very early age who never ever mentioned another person's name. I still remember Ayatollah Langroudi. Have 1 week in front of me, one guy came, he was rude. Never mentioned, once he left, that's it. He never turned around and said, by the way, this guy was rude. Who did you invite in? What's this guy? Never. You know why? You know why? Because it doesn't make a difference. What hurts is your ego. Does an animal ever talk badly about another animal? You know why? Because unlike human beings, it doesn't have that type of ego. Animals may be nafsi. Nafsi haywani. But there's a difference there. They don't have an ego. Because they don't in the way that insan does. In the nafsi la amaratan bisu. Nafsi Ammar is different from Nafsi Hiwani, by the way. There's a delicate difference there. Look, before we go on, I'm going to give you four categories. I wasn't going to give you this, but I'm going to give you four categories of a human being. Right? Us human beings have three things about us. The first thing is this. Right? Three things about our nafs. So understand this. Three things. Firstly is this. You sleep. One thing about nafs. Second thing, you eat and drink. Right? So you need sustenance. Thirdly, you reproduce. There's three things, three types of desires a human being has. Without these desires, you cease to have a nafs. Three desires. You gotta sleep, you gotta eat and drink, you gotta procreate. Desires in you. If a person only has that, they're an animal. That's known as the nafsi hiwani. However, now bearing in mind, all four categories have these three things. That's the first category. So if you have just that, you're a hiwan, you're an animal. Second category is this though. Add another thing to it. If you cause harm to somebody else, right? Harm to somebody. Let's say you have those three categories, but you're a bully. You punch people, you push people, you slap people. What are you then? that means that your nafs is that of a predator. You're a predator. Therefore, people are not safe from you. But let me take it to a third stage. Third stage, now add on to that. Now if you have another vice, and that is that you lie, and you cheat, and you steal, and you harm people through your tongue, through your intentions, then what do you become? Tradition says, at that stage, you become shaitan. That is a shaitan. If you are backbiting about somebody, that is a shaitani quality. So therefore, your nafs is shaitani. Now, let's look at two other things. You've got those three there. And at the same time, you help people, right? So you don't bully them. You don't vices of the soul. You're not backbiting about them, but you help them. Here, this is the fourth category. And that person is known as a malak. You're an angel if you do that. If people are safe from your tongue and your actions, and you have those three qualities that you have to eat and sleep and mate, but you help people, you're a malak. But then there's a final quality. And that is, you have all the qualities of a malak, but you also go on your spiritual journey. Lillah fillah. You know what ulama say? They say that person is insan. From 7 billion people, only a handful of people are actually insan. Some of them are in the body of a human, but they're shaitan. Others are in the body of a human, but they're animals. Others are in the body of a human, but they're predators. What do we have insan? Some of them are malak, they're like angels. But even then, they're not at the highest level. Adam was created to complete creation. Adam was created to teach the angels. That person who goes on their journey of wilaya, lillah, fillah, is a person who is known as insan. That is Adam. That is Adam. So what does Adam see? Adam sees two haqaiq. From the kun, he sees the nur, and he sees kamal. What is this nur? What is this kamal? Nur gives the kamal. Because this nur is the intensity of wilaya. Let's take this discussion forward. Look, if you're with me, recite a salawat, please. We can water the discussion down if you want me to. But if you want me to continue on the kun, give me a louder salawat. You know why you should give a salawat? I'll tell you why. Let me give you the philosophy first. You know why shaitan became regime? Because he was unable to give salawat on Ali Muhammad. You know why salawat is important? Because if you go back to the dua that I said to you a number of days ago, remember what I said? What does salawat have? Salawat has four properties. It purifies tazkiyah of the nafs, of the dhat. Shaitan's dhat was najis. He required sajda to Adam to clean it. That sajda wasn't just a sajda. In fact, the sir of that sajda was salawat on Muhammad and Al Muhammad. When he rejected this salawat, he went against the wilayat of Allah. Therefore, his dhat remained najis. Allah is teaching you a lesson. If you want the first sign of a dhat which is najis is jealousy, because Adam had jealousy, and so shaitan had jealousy, and he had arrogance. Arrogance and jealousy go side by side because you start thinking you're superior. Actually, you're not. The fact of the matter is there's an inferiority complex that pushes you to act superior. So remember, when you see arrogance and jealousy in a person, know that their dhat has shaitan in it. What do you do there? Ulama of akhlaq tell you, kathrat as-salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. But look, my topic today is not spiritual remedies. Though maybe one day we can have a discussion on that. The purpose is this. Kun, Nur. What is Nur? Nur, Imam says, hadith is Unwan al-Basri, right? You've heard the hadith, you've read the hadith. It starts, Wakana Shaykhan Kabiran. There's a whole hadith of Unwan al-Basri. He was an old man, etc. What does the Imam say? He says, Al-Ilmu Nurun. He says, Ilm is Nur. Firstly, what is Nur? Ilm. What is Nur? Ma'rifah. What is Nur? Wilaya. What is Nur? Ahlul Bayt. What is Nur? Quran. What is Nur? Happiness. What is Nur? Union. What is Nur? Connection. What is Nur? Brotherhood and sisterhood. What is Nur? Islam. What is Nur? Happiness. Glad tidings. Now go to Dhulamat. What is Dhulamat? Separation. Why is there pain in separation? When two people get married, they feel happy. When they get divorced, regardless of whether you hate each other, you still go through a period of pain. You know what that is? Hadith says Allah's arsh shakes. You know why it shakes? You could turn around and say, well, you know, I didn't like him and he didn't like me and we hated each other. No, that's not you may have done, but there's always pain in it. Why? Because in separation, there's pain. This is why you understand that the best love poetry within Islam, and otherwise from Byron all the way to Ferdowsi, is about separation. Because separation intensifies pain. If you love somebody and you're separated from them, look at the intensity of pain that you have. Malik al-Ashtar cried because he was in pain for being separated with Amir al-Mu'mineen. They say when Ayatollah Ansari Hamadani was in his last stages, a doctor examined him and he came and he said, look, you know, I've examined many hearts. He goes, but sometimes you notice that there's a physical manifestation on the heart. He goes, I may be wrong, but it seems like you've been brokenhearted for all of your life. He smiled, he said, brother, you're very good at your craft. My heart is burnt. The word he uses is sukht. My heart is burnt through separation with Allah. Ishq, all of this love that you feel, the love for your child, love for your wife, love for your husband, love for your parents. When you bring all of that ishq together, then you begin to understand how Allah separated all of this from his ishq. But when a human being starts loving their imam takes you by the hand and takes you towards Allah, then you begin to understand the ishq of Allah. But can I tell you one thing? Remember this, you are the slave. You're not equal to the imam. Therefore, until the imam doesn't love you, you cannot love the imam. Until Allah doesn't give you the tawfiq to love, you will never love. How do you build that tawfiq? When you put your hand out and you do stuff for the sake of Hussein, that's when you find that Fatima Zahra will do dua and say to her son, the 12th imam, look, this person is going out of the way for my Hussein. Mehdi, grab him by the hand and show him love. You don't know how powerful it is, honestly. You don't know how powerful it is. You'll see your children in the next couple of days. Tonight, in the next couple of days, I guarantee you, your children will do things for Imam Hussein. Because these words are going into their heart faster as coming into people like mine's heart. You know why? Because they haven't committed any sins. Heart is pure. They may not be kamil. When we talk that kids are ma'soom, no, it's not. They're not ma'soom in that respect. The fact is that they have no taklif shar'i. They're innocent because they've not seen the stains of sin. And so their heart is pure. And you'll see, it will be these kids who will come to you and say, uncle, why don't you take a sweet? Why don't you have something? I want to give this in the name of Imam Hussein. I promise you, before Ashura day, whoever's listening to this and wherever in the world you're sitting, you'll see children do that. Even if it's one child, come with a suit. You'll see it. You know why? Because their hearts are pure. This is why they say, bring them to the majlis. Shall I tell you why? Malaika are coming. If your eyes could see, you would see that this room and your hall and wherever you are seated is full of malaika. And when they come, they bring baraka. When that baraka comes, when that nur comes, your children are still growing. Their blood is pumping their body, their muscles are growing, their bones are growing. As their blood pumps around, the nur of wilaya is going into their bones. So their body is growing. The growth process is taking place with the nur of wilaya because of the majlis of Hussein. This is why, remember, even if your child doesn't understand what the person on the minbar is saying, it's okay. You don't need to understand Farsi or Arabic or Urdu or otherwise. If a person is reciting, all you need to understand is that one Isma Adham of Ishq, which is Hussein. It's Hussein, that's it. Hussein's kimia, the name Hussein. You say Ya Hussein, it shakes your core. Shakes your core. Shakes your heart. Can you imagine? 1400 years later. 1400 years later, when people have forgotten their great grandfathers, I guarantee very few people would know their great grandfather or their great grand, unless if they're historians and they look at their family tree. Aside from that, you don't know. But when you say Hussein, it shakes you. Honestly, can you feel it? Ya Hussein. Shakes you. This is one dua Rajab. You know why in the ziyarah of Rajab? Rajab is Tawheed. In that you've been instructed. What do you say? Labbaik da'i Allah. Labbaik ya Hussein. Powerful. Honestly. So look, let's continue this discussion. Nur therefore is what? Nur is happiness. Nur is union. Right? Separation of that nur takes you to pain. Nur is love. Separation takes you to pain. This is why when a person sins, what happens? When a person sins, when you backbite, when you gossip, you're disconnected from that nur. Why do you sin for? The best example I can give you is this. You see this light which is shining. Before it fuses, the light increases and then it dies. That's like your sins. You think that you're going to be on a high. So when you commit a sin, all of a sudden there's a light intensity and then there's a fusion that takes place. Bang, your light is gone basically. Sin, you've gone back. This is why, remember, and always remember this, the pathway of sin always leads to a downer. Follow the pathway of nur. When a person, now take it forward. What did we say yesterday? And that's ziyarah of Aminullah. What are you saying? You're saying this, right? As-salamu alayka, ya nurullah fi dhulamat al-ard. From the darkness on the earth. What's darkness? Your sins are darkness. Now, let me teach you something. And I teach myself this. You will never need to go to a peer or murshid or anyone like that. This is the secret. The secret is this. You read Du'a Tawassul on a Tuesday, right? Now read it with this intention. Look inside of yourself. Every one of you has a vice. Some people's vice is exaggeration. Some people's vice is suspicion. Some people's vice is lying. Some people's vice is cheating. Now read Du'a Tawassul, because remember, Ahlul Bayt are the nur of Allah that wipe out all dhulamat, darkness. Sins are darkness. Now that when you read Du'a Kumal, forget, for example, Du'a Tawassul, forget Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi's Tawassul. If that's too long for you, that's for people like Muqaddas Ardabili, okay? Put that to one side for a minute. Just recite your normal Du'a Tawassul. What are you saying? Ya wajihan indallah. You're saying to the Imam, Ya wajihan indallah. Ishfa'alana indallah. Ask the Imam, Mawla, I have a vice. Allah's told me that you're His light on earth. Your light, I have darkness in me. Your light should penetrate me to wipe out my sins, to wipe out this vice. When you do tawassul of the Imam with the intention of wiping out, helping you wipe out your vices, you will see slowly but surely a connection with the Imam develops. This is why istighfar is important. Remember this. Istighfar is important, but I'm going to come to it. Remind me to come to it. I'm going to come to it because I'm developing something. Come with me. It's a journey. We're going to get to maqam of istighfar. It's very important, maqam of istighfar. Why? Because istighfar holds the secrets for the fulfillment of hajat as well. So we'll get there in a minute. But before that, look, then what happens? I'm going to give you the story. And the story is going to go forward. Adam is created. What happens after Adam? Adam is created, the incident of Habil and Qabil takes place. Who is Habil? Habil is a farmer, sheep farmer. Who is Qabil? Vegetable farmer. Habil has been instructed, Allah has instructed Adam. Adam, give Habil the secrets. Qabil comes to know, he becomes jealous. What is jealousy? Jealousy takes you to kufr, remember that. A person who has jealousy inside of them will die the death of a kafir. that is set in stone. If you have jealous, and I don't have time to go into it, but there's an entire discussion of Ayatollah Al-Paygani on this, which we don't have time to go into. Coming forward, Habil and Qabil, incident takes place. Qabil says, you know, why are you giving him Isma Adam for? Give it to me. Give me prophecy. Why are you giving it him for? He says, this is the Mashiach of Allah. Allah's decreed this. Adam said, it's not in my hands. We human beings don't make Khalifatullah. Allah makes it. Human beings don't have the haq to make a Khalifa. Allah chooses the Khalifa. Adam's hands are tied. Ibrahim's hands are tied. Musa's hands are tied. Perhaps this is why the verse of the Quran came, Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa illam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata. Your entire risala is wiped. There's a message. According to Aqid, that even Rasulullah doesn't have the haq to nominate or select, nor do you. Who? Allah delivers. Adam says, Allah's picked Habil. Qabil says, ask Allah to pick again. Wahi of Allah comes. What is the wahi? Come bring your best as a sacrifice. Habil says, no problem. The fattest ram he could find. He bought it. Qabil says, man, my crops are going to get destroyed. That one with the fungus on, which is about to die anyway. Let me bring that. Both bring. Allah's lightning comes down onto what? Fire comes down onto the ram. Finished. He's won. Jealousy overtakes Qabil. What does he do? Kill Habil. Right? Incident is in front of you. Adam still needs to pass this down. He gives this Isma Adam. He gives the secrets to who? Hibatullah, sheath. And at that stage he says, don't tell Qabil or his children. Keep it within you, otherwise if he finds out, he's going to kill you. What happens from there? Two types of distinct line begin to flow. One is light and one is darkness. Qabil's descendants go to Yemen. Habil's descendants go towards Iraq and that side of the world. What happens over there? Qabil's wife and relatives are of the jinn. So what does he do? Magic begins. On the one side, magic begins. Black magic. Darkness. Sorcery, jinns. On the other side, the forces of light, goodness. And this gets passed down. Look, my discussion is not on magic. If it was, we'd go deeper into it. Nor is my discussion on Adam. I'm taking you to a place. So here, humanity begins to increase. Time of 10 descendants later, Nuh comes. Nuh has 3 sons. Those 3 sons are spread out over the continents. One goes to Africa, Europe, Asia, and so forth. Nasl begins, gets to a stage, Ibrahim. In each one of the lives of these prophets, what are you seeing? Trial and tribulation. Their wilayah is tested. There is no way that you claim to be a Muslim and you're not tested. Remember what we said yesterday. ذَلِكَ دِينَ الْقَيِّمِ. This deen is primordial. فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This fitrah and this deen is connected. When I talk about Deen al-Qayyim. Actually, Deen is not just prayer and fasting. That's not Deen, that's manifestation of actual Deen. And Deen al-Qayyim is that which is in the law, which is fitri, which has been coming down from the very beginning. That is Deen al-Qayyim. We don't have time to go into the discussion. It's a very complex discussion. If we get time in the future, we'll discuss it further. As Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amli has an entire discussion on this idea of fitra. What is fitra? What is Deen al-Qayyim? Why does Allah say that? Effectively, Allah's fitrah is what the fitrah of insan is created upon. But look, as a complex discussion, a philosophical discussion, we can touch that later. Here, let's take it forward. Every prophet is tested. The purpose of their testing, to enhance their wilayah, to reach higher maqams. So remember one thing. Don't ever be scared of a test. The test will take you up. How do you differentiate between a test and your own sins? Remember what we said yesterday. When that Shia fell and cracked his head. Why? Payback for something that he did. You can always understand the difference between a test and something brought about by you. Test is there to elevate you. But when you do something which causes sin, that pain circulates until Wasil of Ahlul Bayt doesn't take you out of it. Remember that. Wasilat Ahlul Bayt is important, otherwise you go into a spiral effect. From there, let's go forward. I said I would get to istighfar and tawbah. I'm going to get to that in a minute, so let's go forward. Then what happens? Prophecies are taking place, right? There's one prophet I want to reach, because this is what I want to talk about. All of this last 40 minutes or so, half an hour or so, for this point. Bring everything around. Come another prophet. What is that prophet's name? When you go to Iraq, you go to the grave of a prophet by the name of Job. Who is Job? Yunus. What is Yunus famous for? Dhikr Yunusiyah. Allah says, had he not repented, I would have left him in the stomach of the whale. What did he do? Tarqi awla. Did he commit a haram? No. Tarqi awla. Where did he commit tarqi awla? When he prayed and he said, bring azab. What does Allah say? I'm more merciful than this. Let me tell you something else. A Shia is merciful. If you have no mercy in you, you're not a Shia. When Fir'aun was drowning, he said, Musa, help me. Musa turned his face away. Fir'aun was drowning. Allah does wahi to Musa. He says, Musa, you know something? I'm more merciful than you. Had he called me, I would have helped him. What does Nuh do? Nuh does. When you see Nuh in that situation, what does he say? Rabbi, inni maghloobun fantasir. Right? I've become maghloob. Fantasir. You help me. You help me. What does Allah say to his angels? He says, my servant is calling me. I'm coming to help him. That is the power of dua. Do you think ever that you can call Allah and he doesn't come and help? You know what's required? Hal is required. Let me give you a story. Shah of Iran, Nadir Shah, one day decides to go to Ziyara. Of who? The 8th Imam. Comes into the 8th Imam's shrine, where you find the golden grill. There's a blind man sitting there. Oh, he's crying there, sitting there. Comes up to him, he says, how long have you been sitting here for? He goes, I've been sitting here for 3 months. He looked up and he said, you've been sitting here for 3 months and you're still blind? He says, yes, I'm waiting for Imam to answer my prayer. For all of his sins, Nadir Shah looks up and he says something. He says, brother, I'm going to go inside. Says to his guards, you take care of this one. By the time I come out, if he doesn't have sight, chop his head off. Now this guy stops and he says, Imam Reza, now you better help me. This brute is going to chop my neck off. Nadir Shah goes inside, comes outside. Guess what? Man's eyesight came back. Nadir Shah teaches him a lesson. He says, brother, you weren't asking properly. There's one thing just sitting there and going, ooh, ooh, ooh. There's another knocking on the door. There's another knocking on the door and opening the door and walking in. Right? You come to the Majlis of Hussein. You're here now. Allah wants to answer your dua. He wants to answer your prayer. What do you bring? What have you bought? وَسِلَاءَهُ الْبَقَى. You bought your baqa for Hussein. Now your weapon is there. The place is there. Remember, zaman and makan is important for any dua to be accepted. Zaman and makan. Zaman is masaib of Hussein. Makan is this majlis. Your sila is your baqa. Everything is there. Now God is saying, ask me. Now ask. What's holding you back now? Ask from your heart. And you see the arrow goes right up. Pierces all those 70,000 veils. And when you call upon your Lord, remember one thing. Even if the angels say, Allah, this person is a sinner. Allah replies and says, but he has no Lord but me. If I don't answer him, there's no one in this world who's going to answer him. That's your great God, who is greater than what you can even imagine. So anyhow, develop this forward. There's a dhikr that Yunus recites. He does istighfar. What does he say? La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Right? This is a dhikr that said Ali Qadhi Marhum, the great Arif, who's buried in Wadi al-Salam. Great Arif. The teacher of Allama Tabatabai, the teacher of Hassan Ilahi, the teacher of Ayatollah Abdul Karim Kashmiri. He would teach this dhikr. He would say that a person, if they recite this 400 times in sajda on a daily basis, their barzakh eye will open up. Says Ayatollah Kashmiri, said for the kumbaleen, for those who are perfect at the maqam of perfection, they recite it in sajda 3,000 times. For those people who are not, 400 times. I'm sure he won't mind this, but a number of days ago when I spoke to Ayatollah Kashmiri, said Abdul Karim Kashmiri, marhum's son, I asked him, I said, what is the one thing you would recommend? He said, my father, he opened his book and he said, my father would always do dhikr yunusiyah. If ever you have a mushkil, you don't need to go into sajda, just walk and just recite, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Allah will remove your difficulty. Allah will remove your difficulty. Remember this. Recite this. And I asked him as well. I said, I'm going to speak about your father. Do you have permission? He said, yes. Speak about my father. Recite this. Dhikr yunusiyah. Ayatollah Kashmir is very famous. One of our teachers in Qom. He's very famous for kalam, especially Sunni Shia discussion. Ayatollah Ghazwini comes on television just to teach us various things. He says, when I went to Ayatollah Sayyid Abdul Karim Kashmiri, he goes, I heard this from his own, with my own ears, saying from his mouth. He said that when I went to Ayatollah Kashmiri one day, we had an audience with him. He says that there was a young boy who came to me. He says, you know, Ammu, where are you going? He says, I'm going to see Ayatollah Kashmiri. He says, I want to come with you. He said, what are you going to do over there, son? This is great. Arif billah. What are you going to do? He said, no, please, I want to come. And he insisted 3 or 4 times. He says, son, this is not for you. Ghazwini says, he says, I went through the door of the house of Ayatollah Kashmiri. I says, salam. He says, wa alaykum as-salam. What did the child do wrong that you didn't bring him to me? Ayatollah Kashmiri then said something to Ghazwini. Sayyid Ghazwini said, I heard it with my own ears. He said, not to just to me, but to everyone, he said that there were 50 things about the future. Ayatollah said, Abdul Karim Kashmiri told me, 40 of them to date have come true. I'm just waiting for the next 10 to come true. That is somebody like Kashmiri. If Kashmiri is saying that you should recite dhikr yunusiyah whenever you're in problems, then you should be reciting La ilaha illanta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. So look, final thing I'm going to say is this. Look, my time is running out. Time goes fast. We haven't even gone into the discussion yet. But one thing I'm going to give you from Ayatollah Kashmiri is this. Said Abdul Karim Kashmiri, the great R. Ayatollah Khoi wrote him a letter in the time of Saddam. He says, please come back to Najaf so you can teach spirituality again. At the time, it was obviously in the time of Saddam, it was difficult, he couldn't go back. He died in, I think, probably 1999 or so. But we'll look at his karamat and discussion later. The one thing I want to mention is this. Two things about Kashmiri. One thing and then two things. One thing is this. He says, anyone who wants to begin to start on the spiritual pathway, right? If you want to open your eyes to the haqqaiq and you want to start this pathway, then they should recite every single day 1,001 times, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu Ilayh. Now here's Arif Billah, taught by who? 4 or 5 years, he said, he was student of Qadi. They would say, even if you're student for 2 years of Qadi, he'll take you to Kamal. And here Kashmiri is saying, if a person wants to start off on the spiritual pathway, 1,001 times recite this. You know why? Because it starts removing spiritual hurdles. If a person has a debt, now that we're on this, I might as well give you this as well. Take it as a hadiah from me. If you ever have a debt, 30,000 times if you were to recite it, Allah would remove your debt. Final thing is this. Mentioned him, so let's one more thing. You know what makes Kashmiri Kashmiri? Only one thing. Ishq of Ali. Ishq of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Enhance that love in your heart. Enhance the love of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen in your heart. Look, our discussion has come to an end today. There's a lot to say. I'm looking at the time. The time has left us. And it's a working, well, Is it a working day? No. Time has left us. Perhaps it's the weekend. But at the same time, the most important thing for us to come together is now. You've heard the Fadail of Ahlul Bayt, but now let's listen to the Masab of Ahlul Bayt. That which is the kalit, which is the key to your hajat, key to your salvation. Look, a number of nights ago, on the first night, I said that when Sayyid al-Shuhada came to Karbala, he said three things to Bani Asad. I only completed one on the first night. What was that one? Bury us. You know what the other two were? Salam on Hussein. Other was this. He says, if any of my Zawar come, just point them out that this is Ali Akbar's grave. This is Hussein's grave. This is Abbas's grave. This is where Abbas's right arm fell. This is where Abbas's left hand fell. This is where Qasim's body was trampled over. This is where Onan Muhammad fell. Point him out. But Hussein doesn't stop here. He says something else. He says, if ever my Gharib Zawar come, 3 days, let them be your guests. If my fakir Zawar come and they have no water or food to drink, eat, you give them food and water. If they have no shelter, you make sure that they have shelter. Hussein was looking out for you. 1400 years ago, he was thirsty, but he made sure none of his Zawar are thirsty. He was hungry. He made sure none of his Zawar are hungry. He was lying there without shelter, but he made sure that when a Zair goes, however poor they are, whatever fakir they are, the minute that a fakir comes to Karbala, you notice people come and they say, brother, let me clean your feet. Let me wash your hands. Come to my house. Have something to eat. And then they say to you, forgive me that we weren't able to give you any more food. Even the children. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. I still remember a number of years ago when we were walking from Najaf to Karbala. A couple of us were there. Some of us from Dubai, from Darussalam, from Orlando, from other places we were walking. We got to a place where a small boy, no older than, there's probably this young man sitting in front of me, 8 years old, six, seven, 8 years old, comes. He only has some tissues in his hand. Napkins in his hand, comes forward and he says, Sayyid, take these napkins. I said, son, why don't you keep it? I looked at his feet were blistered. He looked at me and he said, Sayyid, my mother and father were killed by Daesh. He goes, I have no one in this world. If I had water, I would have given it to you. If I had a small date, I would have given it to you. All I have in this world are these tissues. Just take one. I said, son, you keep it for yourself. He had tears in his eyes. He said, please, at least on the day of judgment, I can say to Fatima to Zahra that even I did some. This is a child of Bani Asad. This is the promise that they made to Imam Hussein. Remember this always. You're blessed. Your Imam was looking out. Your Gharib Imam was looking out for you. In his loneliness, he was looking out for you. What does he say on that night? He says, leave me. Leave me my loneliness. He was alone. This is why even in the womb, he would say, Ya Ummi, Ana Gharib. know, today is a very, very important night. From tonight onwards begins the big nights of these 10 days. Ajarakum Allah. Allah accept. No, Zahra accept your tears. You're lucky that you're allowed to cry. You're crying for Hussein. You're crying for Hussein. You're lucky you're allowed to cry. You know why? There's no shimmer here standing over you. God forbid a father passes away. A daughter will be there crying. Nobody will be able to stop that daughter from crying. But there was one daughter. Look, I can't recite anymore. You won't be able to hear it. Allah bless your tears. Zahra, accept them. Tonight is a heavy night. Tonight is a night of dua. Tonight is a night of your imam. Tonight is a night of the 12th imam. Where would the 12th imam be tonight? Where would he be tonight? Would he be in Karbala tonight? In the words of one Arif, you know what he said? He said, I looked around to see where the imam was. I couldn't find him anywhere. In a mukashifa I saw. Where was the 12th imam? He was sitting next to the grave of a 4-year-old girl and he was reciting something so that she wouldn't feel lonely because she was missing a father. Fathers, you know, when your daughters are young, when they want to go to sleep, what do? You recite a lullaby next to their bed. Imagine Sakina, 4-year-old girl, all alone. Who's there? No one. Missing her father. One Mahdi comes with his hand on his chest. Imagine sitting there reciting. And if he was to go to Kufa, what does this man say? He says, this Arif says, I saw him then again in Kufa. He shifted again. For some reason, he was covering a footprint on the ground. I realized the footprint was Zainab's footprint. You've come to cry, right? Zahra, accept your tears. Look, I'm coming today to Habib ibn Mazahir. But for some reason, my heart is breaking today. I wish that Sakina could come and see all of these people crying. I recite this on the night of Arba'in, but I'll say it here today. Recite of Arba'in, I'll say it today. You know the night of Arba'in, what happens? They say Zahra comes from Medina to go to Karbala. But before she goes to Karbala, she goes to Damascus. There she goes to the body of a 4-year-old girl. She says, daughter, come, let's go to Hussein. Let's go to your father. You know what the reply is? Says, grandmother, is my father still alone today? The reply comes, no, come and see. There's millions of people coming to... Say that Zainab comes to Sayyidul Shuhada. Says something strange. She says, brother, all I'm seeing is army upon army coming. Brother, why are this army coming? He says, they're coming for my blood. Another army comes. Why are they coming? They're coming for my blood. Another army comes. Why are they coming? They're coming for my blood. Eventually, say that Zainab just says one thing. She says, brother, don't you have any friends either to come? Reply comes, Imam Hussein smiles. He says, Zainab, an army is coming. Who's coming? Says, my friend is coming. Who's coming? Wait, Habib is coming. 6th or 7th of Muharram it was. Habib ibn Mazahir is sitting there. Where is he sitting? In peace in his home. As he's sitting there, he's having his dinner. He remembers the hukum of the Imam. Imam says, whenever you're sitting on risk, whoever comes, don't ever stand up when you're sitting on risk, unless if it's Imam-e-Ma'sum hukum of the Imam. A knock comes on his door. He says, "Who's on the door?" A reply comes, "Ana Barid al-Hussein." Habib gets up, barefoot, goes running to the door, opens the door up. There's a letter there, takes the letter, kisses the letter, puts it on his eyes, puts it on his head, opens the letter up. إِلَى رَجُلٌ فَقِيهَ حَبِيبَ ابْنِ مُظَاهِرٍ مِنْ حُسَيْنِ ابْنِ الزَّهْرَى. Habib begins to cry. Why? Hussein has written him a letter. Whenever Hussein wanted to write something in urgency, he would say Ibn Zahra. One tradition says Min Hussein Ibn Ali. Another says Min Hussein Ibn Zahra. What does the letter say? It says, Habib, when you get this letter, know that we've been surrounded by enemies, Habib. Habib, I'm calling you to help me. But if you want to come, ajalan, come quickly, Habib. Habib comes back. He wanted to test his wife. His wife says, "Habib, what does Hussein say? What is my imam saying?" He says, "Our imam is saying that he's in trouble, to come and help him." Habib quietly sits down. She says, "Habib, your imam is calling you? Give me the sword, Habib. I'll go." Reply comes, "Lady of God, I was only testing you. Let's go." They begin to go. He says to his servant, "Go outside, wait for me. Wait for me with my horse. Kufa's a very unsafe place. I'm coming. Just wait for me." Habib comes. As Habib comes out, what does he see? He sees Muslim bin Osaja is coming. He was coloring his beard. He says, "Muslim, don't you know what's happened?" He says, "No, what's happened?" He said, "Hussein is surrounded by enemies." Muslim says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Hussein." He says, "Take me to Jannah as well." Both of them begin to go. But you know what? A time comes where Habib's heart breaks. You know what that was? When he comes out, he was a bit late. When he was a bit late, the slave was standing next to the horse and he was saying something. He was saying, "Oh horse, if my mola doesn't come, I'm going to ride on you and I'm going to go and help Hussein." At that moment, Habib begins to cry, looks towards Karbala and says, "Assalamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah, what time has come when a slave has ghayra over you, Hussein?" Gets on the horse. Begins to ride. Imam Hussein says, "My friend is coming. My friend is coming." What happens? Habib comes to Sayyid al-Shuhada. As he comes to Sayyid al-Shuhada, something happens there. Fidda turns around, comes to Imam Hussein. Says, "There's a message that come from Sayyid al-Zainab." Habib looks up. Imam Hussein says, "My sister has given salam to you." Habib takes his turban off, chucks it on the ground. He says, "What day has come when the daughter of the Prophet gives salam to this slave?" "Hussein, how gharib are you? You brought your sisters here as well?" They say he goes to the tent of Sayyidah Zainab, picks up the dirt and puts it in his hair. 9th of Muharram comes. Look, I can't recite anymore. You won't be able to take anymore. 9th of Muharram comes. Habib is sitting outside of the tent. Imam Hussein goes onto the Maqdal. As he's walking in his loneliness, Sayyidah Zainab comes. She just says one thing. She says, "Brother, I'm worried." Says, "Why?" He says, "Because grandfather's people left him. Our father's people left him. Imam Hassan's people left him. Brother, I'm worried that your companions may leave you." Habib heard this, tears in his eyes, goes running back. "Ashabi Hussein, Binti Rasul doubts you. Let's come out and show her that we're with Hussein. Take out your swords. All of the swords are on the neck." Comes forward, says, "Binti Rasulullah, you give the hukum. Our necks will be on your feet." Look, I can't recite anymore. Day of Ashura comes. Muslim bin Osaja comes forward and he says something. He says, "Hussein, I want to give my life." He says, "But you're 90 plus, you're an old man." He says, "Please, I'm still young, ties his back, ties his eyes. Imam Hussein knew he wanted to go, but he wanted to give him a... He says, look, Muslim, I'm going to pray. You stand in front of me. You take the arrows for me. Muslim stands there. Imam Hussein says, Allahu Akbar. Arrow fires. Muslim goes into his chest. Muslim holds. Second arrow is fired. Into the chest of Muslim. Muslim holds. Imam Hussein is reciting his prayers. Arrow upon arrow is going. Imam Hussein says, Assalamu alaikum. Finishes his prayers. Muslim falls to the ground. He says, Mola, not one arrow touched you. Mola, are you satisfied with me? He replies, he says, I'm satisfied. My mother is satisfied. At that moment, Habib ibn Mudahir comes. What does Habib say? Habib says, Muslim, if you weren't dying, Muslim turns around and says, Habib, if I had known that you had longer to live, I would have said something to you. But let me say something to you anyway. Looks up and he says, Usika bihada. Remember this Hussein. Don't leave this Hussein. Look, one final thing. Do your dua. Habib didn't leave Hussein. But a time did come when Hussein was all alone. You know what that Hussein says? He says, now look at a person who's thirsty, how they fight. Now look at a person who's hungry, how they fight. He was looking to the body of Habib. Habib, where are you now to support me? Abbas, where are you now to support me? Ali Akbar, where are you now to support me? They say the bodies were moving, but they... Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Matame Hussein.